Saddle up your horses.
Welcome to Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter. This is the program that proclaims liberty to the captives of our beloved nation, where truth trumps political correctness, where the uncompromised Word of God exposes the works of darkness and sets free those held hostage behind the iron curtain of a shamelessly biased media. For God has called us to stand for truth, and having done all to stand, we will stand. It's time to fight the good fight of faith to preserve our country, our families, fortunes, and sacred honor, to protect our property, our schools, and yes, maybe even salvage some of our churches. America, we have a trail to blaze. It's time to saddle up. It's time to ride. Now, here is your host of Red Sky Radio, Rob Walter.
Well, hello, America, and welcome, world, to Red Sky Radio, where we ride hard for the brand of Jesus Christ. God bless you all. A packed week. I'm sitting here with a stack of stuff to cover. I'm not going to get through it. We are going to roll fast in this program. We're going to start out with some good news, as I always do. We're going to end with good news, or at least I will try to in between. You just got to hang on. If you want to reach me, you can, info@redskyradio.net. And if you go to redskyradio.net and you want to hear something more that you missed on this program, take down some notes, what have you, you can do that. We carry the last three programs on the homepage of redskyradio.net. Or, and maybe better yet, you can go to darkskyradio.com, look for the Red Sky Radio link on that page, click on it, and you can download the podcast of this program and send it on to others that need to hear this. Okay, we're going to roll with good news. I've got so many good news things. I'd like to talk about Trump's enforcing the Obama, delegitimizing, if you will, reversing the Obama restrictions on federal contractors who could not make faith-based decisions in their hiring process. Trump has reversed that. He's done two or three other things. I just don't even have time to mention them. They're all good. Whether he's a Christian or not, I don't know, but he is doing Christian things here. And I'm just blown away. And, of course, this is why the left has gone bananas. And everybody in the whole world now is a racist because, that's what they think. They can take the hyperbole up yet another notch, and they can somehow get more people behind them by calling everybody a racist. Of course, all they need to do is look in the mirror, and they'll find the real racist. But to the point of the good news, this program is being taped actually on Friday morning, August 16th. I don't know if last night, which would be Thursday the 15th, if you heard Trump's speech in Manchester, New Hampshire. It was fabulous, folks. I mean, this guy just blows me away. So what does he talk? An hour and a half, an hour and three quarters? What is he, 70-some years old? This guy makes the Energizer Bunny look like a lackey, like a slacker. I mean, he just goes and goes and goes. I heard he only sleeps 3 hours a night. I don't know if that's true. That's just what I've read. This guy has been equipped with a body sort of like Elijah. You know, he outran Ahab, who's in the chariot. Elijah outran Ahab back to Jezreel to beat the storm that was coming. This is like Trump can outrun anybody speech-wise. He can go longer without notes with more energy. This crowd was jazzed. It was packed. The auditorium was slammed, unlike the old Hillary escapades where they had to pay people to come in and they dummied in, photoshopped people's heads into the crowd to make it look like it was full. And there's nobody. I mean, I saw this thing of Kamala or Kamala, whatever the heck her name is, Harris doing a speech in Iowa the other day. My goodness sakes, you would have thought that she was talking to a wall. You didn't hear anybody. She was lackluster. She was nothing. She was just nothing but evil. She's nothing but foolishness, nothing but pride. And there were no response in the crowd. But Trump's speech was just fabulous. It would be worth taking an hour and a half of your time and listening to it. One of the biggest roars and applauses after an hour and a half of talking was is that we will always protect the right to keep and bear arms. I mean, it's just amazing. This enthusiasm and the energy, you know, I don't know what else to say, but other than what he has is God-given. And I want to read a piece, and I want to read it in its entirety, because it's important for you to understand why this man is unique on the world stage, what he is inspiring in England, in Brazil, in Hungary, in Poland, and other countries where individuals that are standing up to the left-wing influence and regimes that have dominated their respective countries. For the most part, here being the EU. But this is a piece that comes from Evan Sayet. I'm going to read it in its entirety. It's going to take me a few minutes, but you will understand something that I could not say as well as Evan says it. Why Trump is unique here, why he's unique in the world, and why he is critical for this period of time. Because I have said in the past, Ronald Reagan could not get elected today. And Donald Trump would not have gotten elected in 1980. This man is here for a particular season. And Evan, I've got a couple of his books. I met him a few years ago at a private little party in San Ynez, California. Great guy. I don't know that he's a Christian. I believe he's Jewish. I think he's kind of like Dennis Prager, a conservative Jewish guy. I think he was a writer for some comedy shows out of Hollywood, if I'm not mistaken, though I could be wrong on that. Anyway, this is what Evan writes. He said, whoops, I'm starting on the wrong page. Gosh, it's two pages long here, so just bear with me, but you don't want to miss this. It says, Trump's lack of decorum, dignity, and statesmanship. That's the title. Trump's lack of decorum, dignity, and statesmanship by Evan Sayet. Quote, my leftist friends, as well as many ardent never-Trumpers, consistently ask me if I'm not bothered by Donald Trump's lack of decorum. They ask if I don't think his tweets are beneath the dignity of the office. Here's my answer. We right-thinking people have tried dignity. There could not have been a man of more quiet dignity than George W. Bush, as he suffered the outrageous lies and politically motivated hatreds that undermined his presidency. We tried statesmanship. Could there be another human being on this earth who so desperately prized collegiality as John McCain? We tried propriety. Has there been a nicer human being ever than Mitt Romney? And the results are always the same. This is because while we were playing by the rules of dignity, collegiality, and propriety, the left has been, for the past 60 years, engaged in a knife fight where the only rules are those of Saul Alinsky and the Chicago mob. I don't find anything dignified, collegial, or proper about Barack Obama's lying about what went down on the streets of Ferguson in order to ramp up racial hatreds because racial hatreds serve the Democratic Party. I don't see anything dignified in lying about the deaths of four Americans in Benghazi and imprisoning an innocent filmmaker to cover your tracks. I don't see anything statesmanlike in weaponizing the IRS to be used to destroy your political opponents and any dissent. Yes, Obama was articulate. He was polished, but in no way was he in the least bit dignified, collegial, or proper. The left has been engaged in a war against America since the rise of the children of the 60s. To them, it has been an all-out war where nothing is held sacred and nothing is seen as beyond the pale. It has been a war they've fought with violence, the threat of violence, demagoguery, and lies from day one. The violent takeover of the universities right up to today. The problem is that through these years, the left has been the only side fighting this war. While the left has been taking a knife to anyone who stands in their way, the right has continued to act with dignity, collegiality, and propriety. With Donald Trump, this has all come to an end. Donald Trump is America's first wartime president in the culture war. During wartime, things like dignity and collegiality simply aren't the most essential qualities one looks for in their warriors. Ulysses Grant was a drunk whose behavior in peacetime might well have seen him drummed out of the army for conduct unbecoming. Had Abraham Lincoln applied the peacetime rules of propriety and booted Grant, the Democrats might well still be holding their slaves today. Lincoln rightly recognized that, quote, "I cannot spare this man. He fights." General George Patton was a vulgar-talking man. In peacetime, this might have seen him stripped of rank. But had Franklin Roosevelt applied the normal rules of decorum then, Hitler and the socialists would barely be 5 decades into their 1,000-year Reich. Trump is fighting. And what's particularly delicious is that, like Patton standing over the battlefield as his tanks obliterated Rommel's while shouting, "You magnificent bastards, I read your book." Yes, this is just the icing on the cake. But it's wonderful to see that not only is Trump fighting, he's defeating the left using their own tactics. That book is Saul Alinsky's Rule for Radicals, a book so essential to the liberals' war against America that it is and was the playbook for the entire Obama administration and the subject of Hillary Clinton's senior thesis. It is a book of such pure evil that just as the rest of us would dedicate our book to those we most love or those to whom we are most indebted, Alinsky dedicated his book to Lucifer. Trump's tweets may seem rash and unconsidered, but in reality, he is doing exactly what Alinsky suggested his followers do. First, instead of going after the fake media, and they are so fake that they have literally gotten every single significant story of the past 60 years not just wrong, but diametrically opposed to the truth, from the Tet Offensive to Benghazi and to what really happened on the streets of Ferguson, Missouri, Trump isolated CNN. He made it personal. Then, just as Alinsky suggests, he employs ridicule, which Alinsky described as the most powerful weapon of all. Most importantly, Trump's tweets have put CNN in an untenable and unwinnable position. They need to respond. This leaves them with only 2 choices. They can either go high, as Hillary would disingenuously declare of herself, and the fake news would disingenuously report as the truth, end of parens, and begin to honestly and accurately report the news, or they can double down on their usual tactics and hope to defeat Trump with twice their usual hysteria and demagoguery. The problem for CNN and all the others with the former is that if they were to start honestly reporting the news, that would be the end of the Democratic Party they serve. It is nothing but the incessant use of fake news, red propaganda, that keeps the left alive. Imagine, for example, if CNN had honestly and accurately reported then-candidate Barack Obama's close ties to foreign terrorists like Rashid Khalidi, domestic terrorists William Ayers and Bernadette Dorn, or the mafia, Tony Rezko, or the true evils of his spiritual mentor, Jeremiah Wright's church. Imagine if they had honestly and accurately conveyed the evils of the Obama administration's weaponizing of the IRS to be used against their political opponents, or his running of guns to the Mexican cartels, or the truth about the murder of Ambassador Christopher Stevens and the Obama administration's cover-up. So, to the friends on my left and the never-Trumpers as well, do I wish we lived in a time when our president could be collegial and dignified and proper? Of course I do. And I've got to finish this in a minute. Sorry.
Well, hey, how are you? Welcome to Red Sky Radio. I am the tech guy, and consider this a PSA. I want to quickly tell you how you can get all the episodes. You can go to darkskyradio.com. Once you get there, go towards the right. You'll see on the menu page a Red Sky Radio tab. Click on that tab, and voila, there you are. There's a media player. You can go through and listen to all the past episodes. You can go through and download all the past episodes. If you scroll down to the bottom of the page, what you'll find is a Google Play button. You can click on that and subscribe to this radio show via Google Play, or to the left, you can go to iTunes, and that button there will take you to a new page, the Podomatic page. You can subscribe right there and listen. You can scroll down on that page to the right and find the iTunes subscribe button. Thank you so much for listening to Red Sky Radio.
Just take those old records off the shelf. I said listen to them by myself. Today's music ain't got the same soul. I like that old time of rock and roll. Don't try to take me to a disco. You'll never even get me out on the floor. In 10 minutes
we're back with Red Sky Radio. Everyone, I apologize. I can't believe I could not fit that in before the break. I dedicated the whole opening to it. I thought I could do it, but I've got to go back and finish Evan Syatt's piece. It's just very short. I ran short at the tail end, but let me repeat just one line and wrap it up. He continues to say, so to my friends on the left and the never-Trumpers as well, do I wish we lived in a time when our president could be collegial and dignified and proper? Of course I do, but these aren't those times. This is war. And it's a war that the left has been fighting without opposition for the past 50 years. So say anything you want about this president. I get it. He can be vulgar. He can be crude. He can be undignified at times. I don't care because, as Lincoln said, I can't spare this man. He fights. And in the case of Donald Trump, he fights for America. Thank you, Evan, for one of the best pieces I have ever read in my life about our times under this administration. It's just it's fabulous. That's Evan Syatt. If you want to look him up, it's S-A-Y-E-T. I printed this piece out. I'm going to save it. Called what was the title of it? I forgot what the title of it was. Trump's Lack of Decorum, Dignity, and Statesmanship. Evan Syatt, S-A-Y-E-T. Okay, moving along. Okay, this is a fast and furious portion of the program. I am going to fly through a bunch of stories so quickly. I hear my mother talking. Quickly is a proper, it's a proper adverb there. This, the political cartoon of the week. I don't have one every week because you can't see them. But I love this one. It's in reference to Jeffrey Epstein's murder or suicide or whatever. The fact, I mean, there are so many things here that are fishy. But at the political cartoon, it shows Hillary Clinton sobbing. These big crocodile tears, likely fake, unless this is a shot of her just having received word that she lost the election, in which case they might have been real tears. But this is what it says. Hillary, I was so sorry to hear of Jeffrey's accidental death next Thursday. And, you know, I've been reading, there's a new term. It seems like every week some new word gets coined on the belief that Bill Clinton, whose painting hung in, is a painting, and whether it's from a real picture or not, we don't know, but it is a real painting of Clinton in Monica Lewinsky's dress and shoes. He's dressed in drag, sitting in a chair. How disgusting. This president, probably the first pedophilic president we've ever had. What a scumbag with his wife. And you know what? I'm thrilled that Scripture says that there's nothing hidden that will not be, of course, in time revealed. And maybe it's coming out. Because what they're referring to this as Arkanside. All the people who were murdered in Arkansas that are a trail behind the Clintons for all their evil, evil, evil that has marked this couple forever. Ahab and Jezebel to the core. Now we've got some others that are coming up are just as evil, like Taliab and Omar Shmomar. And that's actually good news. I'm glad Trump contacted Netanyahu, and said, hey, don't let these two unpatriotic bags go into your country. They hate Israel. They're just consummate Jew haters. I don't use the term anti-Semitic with these hacks. They're Jew haters through and through. Now, I understand that Israel is apparently letting Taliab into the West Bank area only on some humanitarian scheme of hers. What I'm hoping is that I'm hoping they would both go. Israel would show them the truth that the Palestinians have a better life in Israel than any Arabs have in any other country other than the oil sheikhs. And then we don't let them back in. Why don't you just go back to Somalia, Shmomar? Next one. Now we're going to do this is a fast forward segment on stupidity. Goldsmiths University of London, the first university to ban hamburgers and all beef, is banned to fight climate change. That's right. But they're going to continue to allow pork to be sold and chickens because apparently chickens and pigs do not have the flatulent issue that cows do. They're not the methane producers. England, get off stupid. Next one. This comes out of the UK. This is a demented, and I do mean demented, LGBTQRSTUVWXYZ community is rising up protesting the fact that they are not able to contribute tainted blood in the blood drives. That's right. The queers in England are contending that there is a civil right to contribute tainted blood. Now, keep in mind, so does California. California reduced from a felony to a misdemeanor, in other words, from jail to a traffic ticket level, any homosexual who purposely contributes AIDS-tainted blood with the intent of contaminating. Get this. So you do it intentionally with the thought that you can hopefully kill innocent people, and it's a misdemeanor. California is just as stupid and just as immoral as this part of the UK. Now, I'm hearing some good reports out of the UK, but they're the minority. We've got a lot of UK listeners to this program, a lot of out of Ireland. Next piece of stupidity. Hang on, California. This bill hasn't passed yet, but this is awful. The legislature in California is considering a bill, which has already been introduced, which will override all the zoning ordinances for every county and city in the whole state and allow anyone and everyone to turn their single-family dwelling into multifamily units cannot be stopped at the local level to accommodate the housing crisis. So you folks in the Tony neighborhoods, the ones in the nice little suburbs with all the, you know, the homes that kind of all look alike but are all selling for $600,000 to $800,000, get ready to have 18 gazillion cars parked on your street if this passes, because now you are going to be in neighborhoods with a gazillion people living and parking all over the place. Alexa, next story. Alexa is listening. Folks, if you got this thing, if somebody gave me an Alexa, don't, I'm not talking about Lexus, you know, Alexa. If you gave it to me, I would probably set it on the fence and blow it away with one of my rifles. I would. I think they're from the pit of hell. And you're things that have a useful purpose, but they are immediately used for immoral and illegal purposes. In my mind, Alexa is one of them. Alexa is always listening. Yeah, you can turn it off so that it doesn't hear or doesn't take commands, but it's always on. So you say, hey, I think so-and-so stinks, at the you know, that's running for office. I wish so-and-so would get taken out. I wish she would just punch that loser husband of hers. Who knows what it is that would show up in your casual conversation in your household, and Alexa is on. Not only is Alexa listening, Alexa is transcribing it electronically. And guess what? None, zero of the audio data is destroyed. It is all stored indefinitely. So if you think this is the greatest tool ever, it is. Maybe for the Antichrist, not for you. Okay, New York. Gosh, this is... I'm not going as fast through the stupid department as I wanted to here, but the New York Times has come out with a piece that says that lawns, grass, your front yard should be viewed through the lens of social justice. Folks, I'm not making this up. I mean, talk about stuck on stupid. This is what I say. The left has been given over to a reprobate mind, and it doesn't stop at gross immorality. It just bleeds into gross stupidity. I mean, goodness sake. So this writer, Mr. Boddy, David Boddy, said, lawns are part of the colonizing of America, which transformed the landscape from pristine wilderness to identical rows of manicured nature, end quote. My first response is, so what? Look, so we had beef stew was a common food source when America was colonized. We're getting rid of stew because it was around when we were colonized? What indescribable morons. I got to be done with that. It just is so stupid, I can't continue. Next piece. Well, this is not just stupid, this is evil. Google, I give a shout-out and a prayer to Mr. Zachary Voorhees, or Voorhees. I'm Dutch, I should know how to say this, but I don't. It might be which way it's pronounced, Voorhees. Provided a trove of over 950 documents he pulled out of Google, showing that Google is dark, nefarious, dark is evil, has the overthrow of the United States as its goal, and is there to tamper with elections, and in the response they will get to basically control everything everywhere. Dump Google. I've started to use other search engines. Please do that. Next form of stupidity. How many of you out there are evangelical Lutherans? Oh, yeah, I see that show of hands right over the radio. Well, not really. But the denomination this week, in an overwhelming vote, declared itself to be a sanctuary church for migrants, meaning illegals. See, it's for those who are legal, you don't need sanctuary. So when somebody says sanctuary, it can only be for illegals. They say, no, we're a sanctuary church for all migrants. Well, not all migrants are being picked on. The ones that are legal. End of story. It's the illegals that are the issue. I wish a whole bunch of illegals would just show up at the leaders of this denomination and demand entry into their house and just squat in their living room, about 40 of them, and say, hey, isn't this a sanctuary house? Jeez, oh, Pete. Gosh, I haven't used that expression since I used the word expression criminy, both of which go back, I don't know, 30 years or something. I don't know what's coming out of me. But anyway, this is just it's just ridiculous. The problem they had was they couldn't define the word sanctuary. So you got these old... this old denomination, which is losing numbers left and right, trying so hard to be relevant, but preaching the gospel has nothing to do with their attempt to be relevant. Their attempt to be relevant is confined to being more like the stupid world in following that which is purely secular and wholly absent and bereft of any common sense. All right, I got time for one more stupid story, and then we got to get on to other stuff. What would you get today with a college education? Well, let me show you what you're getting today at George Washington University. In the latest here by Campus Reform, they posted an interesting video asking students at George Washington University if they'd be willing to sign a petition calling for banning of the what they call the iconic white stick figure in the walk signals at intersections based upon being oppressive. The great majority of the students at George Washington said they want to be inclusive, and yes, they oppose the white stick figures in the walk signals, concluding them to, in fact, be oppressive. It's that whiteness. It's everywhere. I mean, when's the day coming when I can't paint my house white? Is that the... that's stupid. Can't wake up. Gee, oh, no. Come on. You can't wear a white dress at a wedding, you racist. Here's what they said. Many students from diverse backgrounds, including individuals of color, gender fluid individuals, I'm not interested in their fluids, and LGBTQA+. Now, see, they are adding more acronyms to their debauchery, more letters to their debauched acronym, I guess. Plus individuals, they all feel oppressed by this. So the students are vehemently urging the university to consider changing the crosswalk signs. So what do we go to now? So if it's a black man walking across the street and it's a white background, is that easier to see? I don't know. I'm assuming the reason that it's white against black is it's more visible than black against white. But now is it black oppression? Is it misogynistic because it's a man and not a woman? And what do we do for the brown folks? What background for them provides the right color to make them feel inclusive? Or do we have eight of these stupid signs and you pick the one? The conclusion is that this is the white man telling everybody else what to do when they can cross and when they can't cross. Well, let me tell you, you idiots, if the sign turns to the white guy crossing, you don't have to cross. No one's making you cross. You don't have to. Fact of the matter is, why don't we just throw a tranny up there on the sign telling me it's okay? Well, that would be to me a sign that says, don't walk. If the tranny's telling you to walk, don't walk. If the tranny's telling you to don't walk, it's time to walk. I would just go up there like my older brothers told me about the town I grew up in, Michigan. We had one stoplight, and they said, my oldest brother told me this, when they put the stoplight in, that when it turned red, when the light turned green, they came to a stop. And when the light turned red, then they took off. There's not much to do in this town, and they had a name for this little exercise, and it was called entertainment. But they did it exactly the opposite of what the signal said. That's probably where I will be if this nonsense continues. Well, I'm glad we're through that section of the program because I want to get on to something that, frankly, is a more serious, and I'm going to get just a tad preachy in the second half of this program because I got to cover something that is just unbelievably important. And I'm going to put off, I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I got so many stories that deal with, wait a minute. I am feeling prompted to shift gears here. I had something I wanted to cover. It's very important. Everything is important. That's the problem. I'm just feeling moved at the moment to shift gears here. I would like to cover the movement away from Christianity by some of these so-called leaders within the church, such as Joshua Harris, who abandoned, I guess he's a very popular preacher. I've never heard of him. A lot of people say they know him, liked him and everything, just walked away from Christianity, disavowed the faith. And I said, when he did this about 3 weeks ago, I said, watch this. This guy, because this is a pattern, will end up in a queer pride parade. I make some wrong predictions. This one was spot on. 2 weeks later, he shows up at a queer pride parade. That's where it usually goes, folks. It is. They get tangled up in some sexual debacle, and an affair isn't enough. They follow the Romans 1 path. When you turn from Christianity, you become an apostate. You throw away your salvation. You know what? I think I do have to cover it. I think I better stick with it because I've started down this path. Because I'm going to, unfortunately, rattle your cage theologically here on some things. But it's time that it be said. Because it deals with these individuals. And the problem that they have become luminaries within some of the mega churches, and then they turn and abandon their Christianity. First of all, it is very, very clear. So you want to get a pencil and paper out. You're going to want to write down a couple of scriptures because I'm going to read them to you. You've got to know this, but if I rattle your cage with some statements here, hear me out. First of all, the whole concept of once saved, always saved is from the pit of hell. Sorry. There is no truth to the fact that you can't throw away your salvation. Can it be stolen from you? No. It says we're sealed. Satan can't steal our salvation. Can you lose your salvation like you lose your car keys? No. But can you throw it away? Absolutely. And I'm going to give you a couple of passages. And I'm going to relate this now back to the Christian leaders or former leaders, where they are, the danger that they have engaged in, and frankly, what you can expect. But there's some theology that needs to be corrected. There are many who say, well, you know what, you can't, if you were serving the Lord and now you're not serving the Lord and you no longer profess a faith in Jesus Christ, then that means you were never saved to begin with. That's a bunch of bull. That, you know what that's like? It's like taking 100 queer guys and 99 of them get saved and delivered from their queerdom. They end up getting wives and having children. And the last remaining homosexual says, well, they were never homosexual to begin with. They will always find an exclusion to eliminate something that will convict them of their sin. This is not a matter of conviction of sin. It's just a bad, wrong thinking inside a lot of churches. That once you're saved, you're under no circumstance can you throw it away. Well, read Romans 1, where it talks about individuals who no longer even want to have the mention of God in their minds. And God turns them over to a reprobate mind. They didn't have a reprobate mind before when they had God there. But how about, folks, if I devoted a whole program just to this topic, I could not fit in all the passages that would support the fact that you are not saved once you're saved forever. No, you're not. I'm not saying you've got to get saved over and over again, but if somebody supposedly gets saved when they're 13 at some church camp, but then walks, lives, talks, and supports the devil the rest of life, you live with the devil, you die with the devil. How about Revelation, where Jesus said, if you do these things, or telling one of the churches, if you don't do these things, I will take you out of the Lamb's Book of Life. Like going to hell, right? You don't get taken out of the book of life and go to heaven. Gosh, that's pretty obvious. And how could you be taken out of the book of life if you weren't first in the book of life? And for two or three of the other churches, Jesus says, if you do this, I will give to you to eat of the manna of heaven and these other things, some of which sound like rewards, some of which sound like heaven itself. And what's the converse truth? The converse is that if you don't repent of these things, you don't get those rewards and you don't go. Look, you just can't say, oh, Jesus Christ is my Lord, and maybe you are saved, but then you go on and you recant. You turn back. You go on and you do something else. And there's other scriptures that point this out, and I've got to read one of them. No, I'm going to read two of them to you. I got to fit these things in here. But let's start with, turn with me, if you will, to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, and we're going to look at chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. Chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. For it is impossible. It's a big word here. For it is impossible for those who are once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift. Okay, they're enlightened. They've tasted of heaven and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. You don't partake of the Holy Ghost as a non-believer. Somebody who's faking it doesn't partake of the Holy Ghost. But God's not done there. And have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. It's sort of as though the writer of the Hebrews is here making it very, very, very clear that this person has enjoyed everything that belongs to a life of one who's saved. Then goes on to say, if they shall fall away. Meaning, obviously, you can fall away, or else this is an utterly meaningless verse. If they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. Okay, point number one, you can throw away your salvation. Point number two, if you throw away your salvation, there's no getting it back. Just says that here. If you're saved and you fall away, you can't be renewed under repentance. You don't get to crucify Jesus twice. You do once and you repent of it, but you don't get to then unrepent, repent of your repentance, I guess, and go back to hating Jesus, disavowing it, and ever come back. And you know what? Never. I'm an older guy, folks. I have never once in my Christian life of 40 years I've known the Lord, I've never once ever known somebody who was absolutely convinced, knew the Lord, participated in works of the Holy Spirit, who then abandoned the faith and ever came back. Not one. And why? Because of this passage. You don't get to crucify Jesus twice. Now, if you're sitting there wondering, oh my gosh, have I committed blasphemy of the Holy Spirit here where I can't be saved from this sin? Well, if you're still wondering about it, then no, you haven't. It means you still have a conscience. Write down this passage, 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2, because we're going to get to it in a minute, about a seared conscience. You see, if you still have a conscience, you haven't done that. But those who have a seared conscience don't care anymore. Like the songwriter from Hillsong, whatever that guy's name is, I can't even think what his name is now. I got it written down here somewhere. You don't get to go back and do that. Marty Sampson, he said, I'm so happy now. I'm so at peace with the world since I have just kind of stepped aside from my Christian faith. This guy's written all kinds of songs, people said, unbelievably anointed by the Holy Ghost. Did Marty here partake of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, as it says in Hebrews 6, 4? Absolutely. And guess what? I don't know if his abdication, if he has completely recanted his faith. It sure sounds like it in the article. Says he's kind of searching. If he's searching, you pray for him. If he is not searching and he's recanted if he has recanted his faith and he's not still in even any kind of limbo, but he's just no longer a Christian, you don't need to pray for him. Why? Because it's impossible for him to return. It sounds harsh, maybe, but don't go away because you're going to hear about what blasphemy of the Holy Spirit really is. Rob Walter, Red Sky Radio.
Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter is a listener-supported program. Please know that 100% of your contribution goes to pay for airtime so that as many people as possible are able to hear that the Word of God has answers to every meaningful problem and issue in life. No one gets paid a salary at Red Sky Radio with Rob Walter, but in response to your support, We pledge to bring you the most timely and critical information you need to help make informed decisions in this age of media bias and a growing hostility to all things Christian. Your partnership makes you one of the watchmen on the wall with us, as described in the book of Ezekiel. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
This is Rob Walter. We are back with Red Sky Radio. Got a lot to fit in these last few minutes here. We're talking about the fact, number one, the whole thing about once saved, always saved, not true. I could come up with 100 verses pointing that to be false. Number two, if you are in fact saved and you then throw it away, we just read from Hebrews chapter 6 that there's no coming back. There is no coming back. People have said, well, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is the only thing that you cannot be forgiven of. Well, I will tell you something. You can't commit blasphemy of the Holy Spirit without having known the Holy Spirit. Think about it. The ones who partook of the Holy Ghost, we just read about in Hebrews 6, partakers of the Holy Ghost. What if I said to you, I want you to blaspheme this guy named Joe in Salt Lake City. Curse him. What would be your answer? How do I curse Joe in Salt Lake City? I don't even know the guy. I don't even know what he looks like. I don't know anything. How do I curse him? You only get mad at things you know. You only blaspheme something you know. Paul blasphemed, did he not? But he said, I did it, however, in ignorance. So he said, big, big clue. I did it in ignorance. Meaning that if you're ignorant, i.e., you do not have a salvation experience. You do not have the Holy Spirit in you. You do it in ignorance, then you're ignorant. Yes, you can be saved at that point because you never were to begin with. You're not running God out of your life after having known him. You're not trying to come back and crucify Jesus a second time. Folks, consider this passage, which is to the same point. Out of Second Peter 2. Verse 15 says, there are those that have forsaken the right way. Okay, so I'm down to 93 more verses to point out, right? Those who have forsaken the right way. But listen to this in verses 20 and 21. For if after you've escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness. Look, they know the way of righteousness, okay? Then after they have known, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Very clear. It's better to have never known Jesus Christ than to know him and turn away. The end is worse than the beginning if you turn away. And why? Because there is no coming back. Experience shows that passage to be true. They don't come back. They don't. When you turn on the Holy Spirit, then you go to the point where it says, I mentioned about in 1 Timothy, that your conscience is seared. You no longer care. You couldn't give a rip. You say, oh, gosh, they might come back because their conscience might come back around again. Well, 1 Timothy 4:1 says, now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. You got that? Depart from the faith. Okay, now we're down to only 91 more verses that talk about throwing aside your salvation. They'll depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Is this not what Joshua Harris and Marty Sampson have done? I don't know if it's an issue of pride, if it's confessed, unrepented of sexual sin, because they all end up in the queer dome eventually, it seems like. That just seems to be the case, because that's sort of what happens when you turn your back on God, as revealed in Romans 1. They knew God, but they didn't want to retain them in their conscience. Then God gives them over to a reprobate mind, and what does it say that they do? They end up using their bodies and that which is unnatural, men with men, doing that which is unseemly, and women even turning the natural use of their body to the contrary. But it says, to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Your conscience is seared, you're gone. That is the crucialness. I don't know if that's a word. That's how crucial this is with these so-called faith leaders who are now throwing Jesus aside. And like this Marty Sampson, who says, well, I'm still thinking about things, but this is his quote. I'm genuinely losing my faith. I believe Christianity is just another religion. And he goes on from there. I mean, I'm not really sure how you could say he's even searching. Maybe he's just trying to hang on to his paycheck. Who knows? They should not be followed. They should not be listened. But these, once they go, they're going and gone, folks. And here's the other thing to this. You don't need to pray for them. If they can't be saved again, which they can't be, then there's no need to pray. There are about four places in Scripture, believe it or not, where you are not to pray for people. Three of them are out of the book of Jeremiah. One is in the one of the epistles. I forgot whether it's 1st, 2nd, or 3rd John right now. I don't have it in front of me. Where it says, there are those that I do not say that you should. There are sins that leadeth unto death. That's what he's saying. There's sins that lead unto death. First he said there are sins that don't lead to death. Then he said there are sins that do lead to death. Would that not be one? Recanting your faith in Jesus Christ? And he goes on to say, I do not say that you should pray for them. He's not really telling you not to. He's just telling you it's a waste of time. And I remember my wife coming to me, probably 13, 14 years ago, and she said, you know what? There was a particular pastor where we lived in San Ynez, California, went off the deep end. And she said, I've been praying for him, but I just felt the Holy Spirit stop me and say, stop praying for this man. And she did. And the man continued to walk the plank of evil off the deep end of spiritual apostasy, believing and pushing things mostly in this particular area. Think is whatever. I mean, there's no coming back. There's no coming back. So here is a concluding point of sorts. I actually hope that neither Joshua Harris nor Marty Sampson were ever saved. I really do. I hope that they have been faking it all these years, and that they never really were. Because if they were faking it, there's an opportunity for them to actually get saved for the first time. You see, the reason we have this doctrine of once saved, always saved, is actually, if you go back, if you want to know where I am, I'm sort of a Bapticostal. I'm kind of a mix between Baptist and Pentecostal. But the Pentecostals were at fault many years ago, where they routinely embraced the idea that you could get saved many times. You sin and you come back and they repent, but they claim they got saved again. Absolutely wrong, because you can get saved once and only once. You either stay saved or you change and go to hell. But there's no coming back the second, third, fourth, or fifth time. But to respond to that gross error in teaching, or what was allowed to be permeated, there was this mistake in the opposite direction that said, no, 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 that's screwed up, which it is. But then it got equally messed up on the other end by saying, no, you can never, ever throw away your salvation. They'd say, well, you never lose it. Well, you can't lose it, but you can throw it away. If you throw it away, then you have now participated in blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, contrary to what most people and gutless pastors say, is simply not believing. That's a bunch of bunk. It's very clear from the book of Matthew. Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is something that is proactive. And like I said, you can't blaspheme something you know. You have to know the Holy Ghost to blaspheme it. And when you do, you're toast. So to Marty and Joshua, I would say, I hope you were never, ever saved. Unless, if you were saved, you actually haven't gone to the point of recanting. I don't know. But this is a dangerous issue, and you need to know that for anybody else, who you should pray for, who you shouldn't, and don't go accepting the line that that you can come back, or the fact that somehow you can cast the blood of Jesus aside. You cannot crucify him twice. And if these are crucifying them twice, if they've crucified him twice, they're gone. You need not pray for them. Move on with your life. It's Rob Walter with some hard words, but they are the truth. Remember to sit tall in the saddle, world. Remember, you ride for the brand of Jesus Christ. God bless you. We'll see you next week.